Well, turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 15, we continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Of course, this is a powerful letter, and we have been saying that it's the foundational letter of the New Testament. It gives us great truths and principles from God's Word that we know and apply, but not only that, so that we can be grounded and grow in the truth of Jesus Christ our Savior. Paul states in chapter 15, he said this last week, he said that he wrote in this letter boldly on some points. Well, what points? Well, realize that he talked about sin and salvation and the Christian life and security in Israel and the church and living out our faith and just so many things. We have divided the study into two big parts. If you remember, chapters 1 through 11 is basically the doctrine of the teaching part, and chapters 12 through 16 is the application part. We're near the end of the letter, and in this application part, especially chapters 15 and 16, the issue is ministry. In fact, the whole rest of this letter is going to deal with ministry. Paul, in this section, is going to talk about his own ministry. He's sharing with the Romans his ministry, his plans, his purpose, and his method. And so as we look at this, we want to be encouraged. As we think about ministry, our plans, our purpose, our goals, our methods, all of these things as we think about our service for Jesus Christ. Well, a lot of you know my background. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was 19. I didn't understand anything about salvation or going to heaven. I had gone to church once when I was 6 and then once when I was 12. Now, I do remember they had donuts in between Sunday school and church that time when I went when I was 12. I thought this, that if you did more good than bad, you'd go to heaven. See, I had this idea that if you did more good than bad, you'd make it. And so if I did a wrong, I always did try to do a couple of good things, so I thought I was okay. When I went off to college, I ended up in this Bible study. Didn't know it was a Bible study. I wandered in, and they shut the door, and I couldn't get out. And so I just kind of stood there and listened. And, you know, that night I heard the truth. And while at that Bible study, I understood that Jesus came to this earth. He died on the cross. He paid for my sins. He rose again. It wasn't my goodness or works, but it's simply faith in Jesus Christ, and I would have eternal life, and I trusted Christ. Boy, I'm so excited, and I, for the first time in my life, I understood what grace was, and that you go to heaven not by your being good or anything, but by faith in Christ. I was at a school called Delta State. It's in Cleveland, Mississippi, and I remember I would go to the library. I mean, I'd just go to the library, and I'd walk up to people I didn't even know, and I would say, hey, listen, I got to tell you something. I just want you to know, I just found out how you can go to heaven. Would you like me to tell you how you can go to heaven? And some people would say, yeah. And some people would look at me and say, would you leave me alone? I'm trying to study and things like that. But I remember one time, this guy and I had gone to the library and we were talking to people about Christ and we came back. And if you may remember, there was a guy named Knapp. And Knapp is the pastor that led me to Christ. And he was there at that time. And it just so happens he was there when we got back from the library. And Knapp said, where you guys been? And I said, we've been over at the library saving people. And, of course, Knapp laughed, and he said, you're not saving people, J.B. Jesus is the Savior. You're just telling them about Jesus, and He's saving them. And I went, well, yeah, that's right. That's right. Because the truth is, Jesus Christ gets all the glory all the time. He's the Creator, the Redeemer, the Savior. He's everything. He's the reason we live and serve. And when we serve Jesus Christ, He gets the glory. It belongs to Him. We're just His instruments. Well, this morning, as we continue looking at Paul's ministry, he declares that all the glory in ministry goes to Jesus Christ. In fact, he says, all ministry that is done by Christ through Him. That's what he says. And the truth is that all the ministry that's ever done is Jesus Christ using us. We're just the instruments, and He serves and uses our gifts, talents, and abilities for His glory. So this morning, we're going to think about that as we look at our passage. Let's begin. We've come near to the end of the book. We've been in this a long time. But you know, Romans is such a deep book, and we've gone verse by verse, passage by passage, all the way through. Couldn't skip any of the hard parts. And we're coming now toward the end, and we're focusing in this last section on ministry. And Paul deals with his ministry. Let me give you an outline of our study this morning. We're looking at Romans 15, 17 through 25. And we're going to look at three things: the power of ministry, the method of ministry, and the place of ministry. Now, Paul talks about the power of ministry. And of course, the bottom line, the power of ministry is God through Him. It's Jesus Christ in Him and the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll see that. Then he talks about his method of ministry. Now, the way Paul decided to do ministry may be different than you or me, how we might do it. So we'll look at that. And then the third thing is the place of ministry. And he talks about where he's serving and what he wants to do. And then we'll just think about maybe make an application in our own lives. Now, let's begin with a little review from last time. Several things. We ended by Paul saying this. He said, you know, I wrote boldly to you. He's saying, I wrote a letter to the Romans, and this is a bold letter. Because he talked about some key things. One of the issues that we saw last week, that ministry is all the grace of God. I mean, every aspect of our lives is the grace of God. But Paul talked about it and said, by the grace of God, he got to serve God. And that's the way we need to look at it. It is the grace of God. We get to do anything. It's the grace of God you're alive. It's the grace of God you got spiritual gifts. It's the grace of God you got the Holy Spirit. It's the grace of God we got the Bible. It's the grace of God we can be in the local body. It's all the grace of God. And then he said something else, and it was found in verse 16. This is where we ended last time. There were four things that he said about ministry. He said, verse 16 said, he was to be a minister of Christ Jesus, serving as a priest, proclaiming the gospel of God. Those four things. He said he was a servant of Jesus Christ. He said that he got to represent Christ. He got to be as a priest, and he got to proclaim the gospel message. The same is true for all of us. We are servants. We are ministers. Every one of us belong to Jesus Christ. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own, so therefore we serve Jesus Christ. So we're servants of Christ. We serve as priests, and we get to proclaim the gospel, the good news message. That's what we see. Now, as we look at these next verses, we're going to see those three things again: the power of ministry, the method of ministry, and the place of ministry. Now, when you think about ministry, I want you to think about this twofold. Think about individual ministry. Talking about you individually. The gifts, how you're using the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given to you for His glory. And so you think, okay, what is the ministry you have or ministries that you have? And then second, think about the local church as the body, that the overall, the plans, purposes, and goals that we have, what ministry we have. So when you think of ministry, you can think individually and you can think corporately. Well, let's begin first with the first one. It's called the power of ministry. Let's see what he says. Now, as you would expect, as we get into verse 17, as you'd expect, the power of ministry is God in us. In fact, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through the one who strengthens me. That's, of course, Christ strengthening us. Galatians 5 says, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's Christ working through us. So all ministry is done in God's power. Let me tell you, the Bible says, in Christ I can do all things. Apart from Christ, I can do absolutely nothing. So we need to remember that. Look how Paul says it. He says, all ministry, everything that he does, is Christ through him. Look at verse 17. He says, therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. Now, he starts off with a therefore, because this is his conclusion, because he just said, listen, we're servants of Christ, and we're proclaiming, and we're giving the gospel. And he says, now, therefore, because of that, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. He says, in connection with Christ, in my union with Christ, it's always Christ, by the way, he found reason for boasting. The word boasting means to get the glory. He says, God gets the glory. If in Jesus Christ is where all the glory is. He says, in the things pertaining to God, he's talking about in ministry, it all goes for Jesus. All success, all glory, all boasting, all ministry, all aspects goes to Christ. We would say it this way, bottom line, the source of all glory in ministry is Jesus. He gets it all. He does it all. And so look at Paul. Paul says, therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. Paul's not saying I'm bragging on me. He says I'm bragging on Jesus. The boasting is in Christ. The glory goes to Jesus Christ. Now, think about how incredible Paul was. We're going to talk a little bit more about Paul next week, more details. But you realize he wrote 13 letters in the New Testament. He went on 3 missionary journeys, traveling around, establishing churches, leading people to Christ. And he stood before kings and rulers. And yet what he says is, everything that I do, God gets all the glory. Jesus Christ gets all the glory. He says, if I'm going to boast at all, it's the boasting in Jesus. He gets the glory. So Paul says he's able to serve only because Christ. It's the same for us. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He's the source of all power. All glory goes to Him. Think about it. First of all, the local church. Think about this body of believers. As we come together, we've got all different ministries and functions and plans and purposes and everything. But who gets the glory? The glory all goes to Jesus Christ. And then you think about individually with your gifts, your talents, your abilities. You use them all in the power of God. But who gets the glory? Jesus Christ does. Let me tell you, if you had the privilege, let's say, of sharing your faith and you get to tell somebody about Jesus, you can't go, I'm saving those people. No, you're not. It's the glory of God. He gets all the glory. He did it all. You're just the instrument. So Paul says, therefore, in Christ Jesus, it's in Jesus I get the reason for glory in things pertaining to God. Now, he goes more. He gets something else here. Look what he goes on to say in verse 18. For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. Now, the first part of the verse says, I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. He literally says it this way, I'm not going to be bold to talk about anything except how Christ has worked through me. We'd say it this way, if I'm going to talk about anything, I'm going to talk about ministry, and that ministry is Jesus is the one who's accomplished the ministry through me. Once again, all the glory goes to God. We realize that everything we ever get to do, it's all for the glory of God because it's what God accomplishes through us. If you thought about that, anytime you got to do ministry in any way, shape, or form, it's God through you. He's the power. We're just the instruments. And so he says, I'm not going to talk about anything except if I'm going to talk about anything at all, it's just that what Christ has done through me. So as every one of you in this room, as you get to share your faith, as you get to maybe teach a Bible study, as you help somebody grow, as you help something else, as you move something, as you do ministry, whatever you do, you have to realize it's really Jesus through you. And that's why you can do all things through the one who strengthens us. Christ has accomplished through me is how Paul says it. Now, notice the last part because it is a little bit confusing if you're not careful. He says, I'm not going to speak about anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting. Here's the results of Christ's ministry in the obedience of the Gentiles. Now, when he says obedience to the Gentiles, he's not meaning they do what's right. It means they obey the gospel. The gospel is that whoever believes in Christ will be saved. He was sent as a missionary, as an apostle to Gentiles to take them the message of Jesus Christ. And when he says the obedience of the Gentiles, he means they believed the message. See, God's command, believe the gospel. And so he says, they believed it. He says, so by the grace of God, he said, if I'm going to talk about anything at all, it's what God has done, what Christ has done through me, has accomplished the fact that the Gentiles, God used me so that the Gentiles could believe the truth. And it's powerful. Now watch the end of the verse. He says, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. He's talking about his words and his deeds. How did Paul do the ministry? It was by word and deed. So often we think about, okay, I'm going to share my faith and it's all my words. Ministry is always done in two ways, word and deed. That's why Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. It's our words and our deeds. It's our message and our lifestyle. See, when you say, well, I'm just going to tell people about Jesus, if we don't have a lifestyle that matches the message, they won't listen. You could say, I'm just going to live a good life, and they'll know. They can't know unless you give them the message. You may live a great life, but they can't know. You have to have both word and deed in order to be effective in presenting the truths of Jesus Christ to those who do not know. He says, if I'm going to speak about anything at all, it's what Christ did through me, how the Gentiles came to know the Lord through words and deed, through my word and my deed. And they go together. If what we say is backed up by how we live, fine. And how we live is proclaimed by what we say. If we're going to be effective in ministry, it has to be Christ working through us in our message and our lifestyle. Now, what is our message? Our message is very simple. It's that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He's the Son of God. He died on the cross. He paid for sin and he rose again. Whoever will believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's the message of salvation. Whoever believes in Christ has eternal life. Now, the message needs to be clear. We're going to talk more about that a little bit later. But the second aspect of that is your lifestyle, your words and your deeds. And so we've got to be able to live righteously and godly in this present age. We've got to walk worthy of the calling which we've been called. We got to love others. In fact, the bottom line on lifestyle, as Jesus said, if the key thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. If we love others living a godly life, we'll be able to proclaim the truth of Christ and God will use us in a mighty way. It's words and deeds. So think about your life for a second. And then think about your message. Are you clear on the message? Do you know the message and are you able to share your faith? But at the same time, are your deeds matching your words? We must live out who we are. So Paul says, if I'm going to speak about anything, it's what Christ has done through me, resulting in the salvation, the obedience of the Gentiles, that they trusted in Christ. And this all came about by word and by deed. What did he do? What was this whole ministry? He says, by what power? What did he do? Well, the bottom line is at the end of verse 19. We're going to come back to it in a minute. But he says, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Why do you think he said fully preached the gospel of Christ? Why didn't he just say, I preached the gospel of Christ? Because he's tying this together. To fully preach the gospel of Christ takes your words and your deeds. It's not just your message, it's your lifestyle. And that's what I think he's saying. It all goes together. Now there's something that I want you to see, because in verse 19, it talks about how he did this ministry. We've been talking about power. Look at verse 19. In the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem around as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, I want you to understand something. Paul talked about that when he did his ministry, there were signs and wonders. There's no doubt about that, because Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. We did not have the completed New Testament. And if you study the Bible carefully in the first part of the first century, when the people like Paul and Peter and James and John and those guys went out as apostles of Christ, they went out with, they had supernatural things that would happen. There were signs and wonders to authenticate the message until we had the completion of the Word of God. Now, me and you, we are not apostles. We're ambassadors, and there's a difference. So when Paul had his ministry, he said, what did God do? In the power of signs, which means things out of the ordinary, and of wonders, things which are not according to nature. He says, and in the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now, the truth is, for every one of us in this room, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We who know Christ, we have the Holy Spirit inside. When we go out to do ministry, we do ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not apostles, so we shouldn't expect signs and wonders. We should expect the Word of God to be alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword and do exactly what God wants it to do. But we do our ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit, as he would say earlier, Christ accomplishing through us. Now, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, notice what he says, so that from Jerusalem and round as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, it's from Jerusalem. He says Jerusalem because, you know, he believed in Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He came back and actually started his ministry in Jerusalem, and then went back to Tarsus, and then came to Antioch, and then came back to Jerusalem. And then from Jerusalem, he went on his three missionary journeys and all over. So he says, beginning in Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, which Illyricum is in northern, if you think of Greece, because now the Olympic Games are here and everything's in Athens. And if you think of Greece, southern part of Greece was called Achaia. The northern part of Greece was called Macedonia. And then much further north, which would be modern-day Albania, is this place that he mentions. He says, I've taken the message beginning at Jerusalem, and I've spread it all through Asia Minor, and I've spread it through Greece and northern and southern Greece, and even as far as Illyricum, all those places. He says, I have done what? I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And we're going to talk a little bit next week about Paul's ministry and his missionary journeys and where he went, and sort of tie some of that together for you. But all he says is, God has used me. It is Christ accomplishing ministry through me in my words and my deeds. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, when we think about gospel, we all know that the word gospel, evangelion, is the Greek word. It means good news. It means a good message. When you think about the truth, we got some bad news and some good news. Bad news is we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us in this room would say, yeah, we've all messed up at least once. We've all sinned. Bad news is worse, because the wages of sin is, what is it? It's death. The wages of sin is death. Every one of us is supposed to be separated from God. And so we've all sinned and we owe God death. But then there's really good news. Because the good news is that God demonstrates his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his Son into this world to die in our place to pay for our sins. And the good news gets even better. We can be saved simply by faith. For by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. When we talk about giving out the good news, Paul says, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. He went to places and he told them, and it wasn't the law, and it wasn't being good, and it wasn't trying to do this and do this that would give them eternal life. It was faith in Jesus who died and rose again, paying for sin. Jesus died for every one of us in this room. In fact, he died for every human being. And anyone who will believe in him will never perish, will never be separated from God, but will spend eternity with Jesus Christ. The Bible calls that eternal life. I hope and pray that every one of you in this room have already believed in Jesus as your Savior. And if you hadn't, you can trust Him right where you're sitting. You can trust Him right now. You can say, I believe that Jesus died for me, and I am trusting in Him to give me eternal life. So Paul says, I've gone all over basically this known world that I've been in, and he says, I've proclaimed the gospel of Christ. So in summary, Paul says the power of ministry is Christ working through him in the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the good news message. We'd say it's the same way. The power for ministry is God working through us. Now with that in mind, we have the method of ministry. How did he do ministry? Now his ministry is going to be a little bit different than mine or yours might be, but we'll show you how we can tie it together. Look at verse 20. He says, and thus I aspired to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation. He said, here's my plan. I aspired, my desire was to preach the gospel, was to give out the truth of Jesus Christ, but not where he was already named. I didn't want to go to places where everybody already knew about Jesus. I wanted to go to places that nobody knew about Jesus. I didn't want to build on another man's foundation. I didn't want to go and have somebody already do ministry and me come in after that. I wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to go to places where they never heard about Jesus. That's what Paul is saying. And that's what he did. He went to three missionary journeys. He went over Asia Minor and northern and southern Greece, and then even further than that. He went to the region called Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey. And he went to Ephesus, which is in part of Turkey, but it's what they called it Asia Minor then. And he went to Corinth and Thessalonica and Berea and Philippi. And he went to all of those places. And he told people about Christ. And most of those places he went to, they'd never heard about him. He went in, he would lead people to Christ and form churches. So his ministry was, he says, was to go to places where people didn't know. Notice what he goes on to say in verse 21. But as it is written, they who had no news of him shall see, they who had not heard shall understand. He's quoting Isaiah 52:15, and he's basically saying, I'm fulfilling Isaiah 52:15. Isaiah 52:15 said, there would be people who had never heard, they will hear. There are people who never knew about him, they will know. Paul says, I'm fulfilling that because I'm going to places where people never knew about him. And that's exactly what he did. It was amazing. Now, we could say, what about our ministry? Well, we'd say, well, everybody around here knows about Jesus. Well, they may know about Jesus, but that doesn't mean they know the gospel. Now, let's start and think this way. You realize that in Stillwater, there are a bunch of people that are not only not from Oklahoma, they're not even from the United States. There are people, international students, who are coming here from all over the world. And some of those may have never heard about Jesus Christ, and you may be the one to get the opportunity to tell them. But there's a second thing. There are people in this town. I know there are people in this town who have heard of Jesus, who have gone to church all their lives, and they have never understood the gospel. They have never put their faith in Christ as their Savior. They thought maybe, like I did, you know, you try to be as good as you can be, and then if you do more good than bad, one day you'll stand before God and He'll say, well, you did good, come on in. There are people who have been baptized and thinking that baptism gets them into heaven somehow. So there are people that you're going to deal with on the campus and in the workplace and in our neighborhoods, and they have never heard the clear grace message of salvation. They've never heard it. When you tell them that salvation is by faith in Christ, that He died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again, and it's not their good works, it's not their commitment to God, it's not being baptized, it's not turning away from sin, it is believing in Jesus Christ as Savior, they're going to look at you and go, I've never heard this before. How come I've never heard this before? And so you may have the opportunity, as Paul did, to say, I want to take it to people who've never heard. You may have the opportunity to do that. He says that the power of ministry is Jesus Christ working through us. He said the method of ministry, his method, was to go to those who had not heard. The final thing is the place of ministry. It'll be up in a minute, probably, the place of ministry. But anyway, the place of ministry, what did he do about his place? Look at it, verse 22. For this reason, I've often been prevented from coming to you. Now, for this reason, what reason? The reason, the fact that he had wanted to go to places that had never heard about Jesus. He says, I've been prevented from coming to you. He's talking to the Romans. You understand that the Romans, there was already a church at Rome. When Paul went to Ephesus and Philippi and Berea and those places, they didn't have churches. But there had already been some people who had believed in Jesus and gone to Rome, and the church at Rome had already been in existence. In fact, Paul is on his third missionary missionary journey. He's in Corinth. It's about 57 AD, and he is writing to the church at Rome. He said, I have been prevented from coming to you. For what reason? Because I decided I would go to places that I hadn't heard about Jesus. You already heard about Jesus. So I have been prevented up to this point in time of coming to visit you. But notice, but now, with no further place for me in these regions, and since I've had for many years a longing to come to you. He says, but now that there's no other places here. Basically, he could say that the message has been spread in Israel and in Asia Minor and Turkey and Galatia, because he'd gone there. And he said, and the message has gone to Macedonia and Achaia, which is southern and northern Greece. It's gone all the way up to be what would be modern day Albania. He says, as far as I can tell, in all of this region of where I've been, they've heard of Christ now. So with that, with no further place for me in this region, and since I've always wanted to come see you, notice what he says in the next verse. Whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing and to be helped on my way there by you when I have first enjoyed your company for a while. Now, here's his bottom line. What I'd really like to do is go to Spain. That's my next plan. But what I'd like to do is on the way to Spain, I would like to stop in and see the church at Rome and be refreshed by you. And maybe you would help me make it to Spain. That's what he says. So he says, you know, I'd love to come see you. I've been wanting to come see you for a long time, but because I was doing all the ministry here, that was the plan. So here's my plan. I'm going to go to Spain. On the way to Spain, I'm going to stop and be with you, and we'll have a great time together. And maybe you can help support me so I can get to Spain. That's what he says. So we could stop and say that Paul's plans at this point is to eventually go to Spain, but go to Rome on the way to Spain. But there's another verse. There's something else in verse 25. But now, I'm going to Jerusalem serving the saints. Now, why is he going to Jerusalem? Now, I want you to understand something. If his plan was to go to Rome and to go into Spain, he's in Corinth right now. The easiest way to go is just keep going west, and you go to Rome pretty quickly and then Spain on. But he says, my plan is to leave Corinth and go all the way back to Jerusalem. And then after I'm at Jerusalem, then I'll go all the way to Rome. And then after I go all the way to Rome, I'll go on to Spain. That's his plan. Why would he go back to Jerusalem? Well, I want you to understand the home church is Jerusalem. That's where he's doing a lot of his ministry from. Antioch is one of his main places, but he always comes back to Jerusalem as well. But there's something he's been doing in this last missionary journey. And we're going to see next week what his plan is. Why would he go back to Jerusalem? We'll see the plan for next time. Paul has a place of ministry. It's going to be Jerusalem to Rome to Spain. Now, what have we seen? Paul says all glory in ministry goes to Jesus Christ. That Christ works through Paul, as he says, to accomplish the ministry. Paul wanted to preach the gospel to those who had never heard about it. And his plans are to come to Rome on the way to Spain. Now, let me give you the application. The first one is this. Let us glorify Christ in all ministry. I mean, this is the overarching application for today. Let's bring glory to Jesus Christ in all ministry. He gets all the glory. He gets glory in everything. He's the key. He empowers us. He uses us. He gets all the glory. So, A, ministry is accomplished as Christ works through us. And we need to understand that. He is the power. In Christ, we can do all things. We rest in Him. He is the one that works it all. He lives in us. He empowers us. So when you think about ministry, and when you think about anything you get to do, by the grace of God, it is Christ accomplishing ministry through you. So let me tell you, if sometimes you get to teach a Bible study and you teach it and it comes out great and somebody comes up and goes, man, that was really good. What you should say is, it's the grace of God that He used me, that I'm just the instrument. It's His power through us. That's how we should think about it. B, let's go to those who don't know the message. Now, we can... And I think in this community, there are going to be people who are coming in from all over the world who may have never heard of Jesus. But there are also going to be a lot of people who have heard of Jesus, but they don't know the gospel, especially the grace message of salvation. So let's go to those who do not know. And we do the ministry and we proclaim the truth by our words and our deeds, by our message and our lifestyle, and they go together. Philip Brooks said this. He said, pray that we'll be strong in God's power and every day we'll wonder at the richness of the grace of God in our lives. D. James Kennedy said a statistic that, you know, I've always amazed me, and I'm assuming it's right, that everybody does all these studies and everything. 95% of believers never have led anyone to Christ. Think about your own life. Have you been used by God to lead someone to Christ? Now, let me say this. Here's what you do. You say to God, I want you to use me to tell people about you. And then make sure you're trained and equipped and that you're confident that when the opportunities come, you will be able to share your faith and God will use you and the ministry will be accomplished through you. That takes us to the third thing. Let us proclaim the clear gospel message. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We must be clear in the message. Sometimes when you tell people it's faith in Christ, they say, that's too easy. It just sounds too easy because it's grace. See, grace doesn't sound exactly right because we live in a world that says you got to earn it, you got to do this and you got to do this. But the Bible isn't that way. Salvation is by grace through faith. It's not about what you do. It's what God gives you. This happened to me as about 5 years ago. It was about the first month of school when a college student came up to see me. And he'd been come to Countryside. And he says, I got to talk to you. And I said, okay. And he said, I'm kind of confused here. He says, you know, I've been coming to Countryside for about the last month. And I've heard you say that salvation is by faith in Christ and that we believe in him and we're saved. I said, yeah. He says, but back home, my pastor says, in order to be saved, you have to give your life to Jesus and make a public profession. And then he said, and at work, I've got a friend that says you have to be baptized or you're not saved. And then I'm in a Bible study on campus that says that you have to be willing to turn from your sin and not sin anymore and you could be saved. He said, which is it? Is it faith or turning around, making a profession, stopping sinning, getting baptized? What is it? And I said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Acts 16:31. 154 places in the New Testament it says you are saved by faith in Christ. We're all children of God by faith in Christ. By grace you've been saved through faith and that not of yourselves. Over and over and over. Be clear on the message. When you go out these doors, you're going to have the greatest opportunities, and that is to tell other people about Jesus. Do it. Give them the clear message. Because many of them had never even heard it. Stephen Curtis Chapman, great singer. But you know what he said? Listen to this. He said, in the gospel, we are far worse off than we ever thought. It's true. See, when I said I'm going to go to heaven by being good, I didn't know how bad I really was. I didn't know one sin kept you out. I didn't know. And most people don't know how bad they are. They think, well, if I measure up to all the rest of the people around me, the standard's perfection, not other people. So as he says, we are far worse off than we ever thought, and we are far more loved than we ever dreamed. God so loved the world that he gave his son. May we clearly present the gospel message to those who do not know, allowing Christ to accomplish the ministry through us, giving him all the glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great passage. Thank you for these truths that are here, Lord. Our goal in life is just to glorify you, that you get all the glory in ministry because you do it all. And Lord, we realize that all ministry is accomplished through you. That's the way it works. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And so, Lord, we just ask you that you would use us in word and deed to go with the message, to go to those who do not know the truth and be able to tell them the great message of salvation. And Lord, may we be clear. May we give a clear gospel so that people can understand grace and they can believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Lord, may you use us in a ways beyond what we could ever imagine. Will you accomplish ministry through us? And Lord, may we give you all the glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.